Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You never stop, do you, Aragon?
What's that?
Never stop adding to your lane.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We big heard. Moment in Vikings history last week.
We,
yeah, four of them.
Yeah. Wasn't really good. How about this guy? 108, and we're chatting with Collar. Is KOC chatting in about 15, 20 minutes? Is that what's going on?
So that will be tomorrow. Things are moved back by a day because of Monday Night Football, which is why our schedule is a little bit different. But the open practice will be happening shortly, and then locker room after that.
They make the obvious decision. We are watching this unfolding tragedy in Los Angeles. They needed to make this move. They do. The game now, as people know, will be played in Glendale where the Cardinals play. SoFi is not exactly U.S. Bank Stadium. It is not Ford Field, but it is still an advantage. How do you try to quantify the advantage the Vikings have gained from moving this game from Southern California to Glendale, Arizona?
Well, I noticed that the folks in Vegas, whose job it is to quantify these things, have given a point and a half more to the Vikings. So I think that they view it as a pretty significant advantage for Minnesota. And I would agree. I mean, when you consider that, I mean, LA is an event town. If there's something exciting going on, those people are going to show. So for a playoff game, now maybe on a Thursday night football game, whatever, but for a playoff game, I had expected a lot of Rams fans to be in those seats. I also expected Vikings fans to have been pretty downtrodden after last week and maybe not wanting to fly into the center of one of the biggest disasters the country has faced in a long time, and rather, maybe not go try to take over another team's stadium. So my expectation was that it was going to be a pretty big and pro Rams crowd. And now, and I'm sure some of their season ticket holders are traveling to Glendale, but are they going to get a half full stadium of Rams fans at best? And when you think about the snowbirds from Minnesota that live in Arizona already, probably a lot of fans who may be a little inspired by the price difference. It's not that hard to get a, you know, whatever airline sponsors your show, flight out there to Arizona, and, you know, hotel. I paid, I think, $250 less for my hotel in Arizona than I was going to in Los Angeles. So that might factor in for fans who want to say, hey, let's make this a home game. Let's try to actually get inspired here to go give the Vikings an edge. I think there's going to be a lot of those Vikings fans who fly out there. And just in general, I mean, is it going to be a full stadium? Are they going to just open the doors to the local? Right, I doubt it. And it's not even in Phoenix, so it's not like you can just say everybody come to Phoenix. No. So I'm thinking
close,
that this stadium, I'm thinking it's going to be like a London game where there's going to be cheering for things that happen, but nobody is getting the noise advantage. And I also think, too, the Vikings were planning on getting on a plane, flying to somewhere, and playing football. The Los Angeles Rams were not planning on leaving their city, as many of them will be afraid about what's going on at home with their homes and their neighborhoods and things like that. I think there's a lot of stress on the Los Angeles Rams franchise here.
Okay, let's get to one serious note, too, before we get back to the game. Your bride and our friend, Sloan, that's where her family, that's where she grew up. How is everybody, how are they dealing? Have they faced any of the punishment from this fire?
Luckily, they have not. They live in an area they call the Valley out there, which is not really that close to where a lot of the fires are going on. But even in their neighborhood, some embers blew into an area that started on fire. They were able to put it out really quickly, but that was just around the corner. I mean, it really tells you how different this one is because of the violent winds that they've had to face. I mean, it's hard enough when you get a regular storm that's sweeping, a firestorm is sweeping through the hills there. I mean, that causes enough problems. But this one, with the wind, you could be talking about, super hot embers blowing miles and miles and miles away and starting new fires that can sweep through a neighborhood really quickly. So they still have to be concerned about it. But luckily for them, they're not in a main area. But, yeah. I mean, you just... Every person you talk to has friends, family members. I know Kevin O'Connell said this yesterday, that he knows a lot of people who are having to escape their homes and things like that. So just a terrifying situation going on.
This is Matthew Collar from Purple Insider, purpleinsider.football. Okay, let's talk Darnold, and let's talk about the issues tied to Darnold and what happened Sunday and whether that's an aberration, because we agree he had a great season. But Aaron Glenn was extraordinarily aggressive, cover zero 14 times, more than anybody the entire year. The left side of the line in Brandell and Robinson did not hold up well. And Sam, I thought, was overwhelmed by the moment from the start, and then the blitzing just added to it. If it was this easy, every team would do it. But the way the Rams play defensively, they can't just reinvent the wheel. What approach do you expect them to take when they know what Detroit did versus the approach they ended up taking early in the year when they also won that game at SoFi against the Vikings?
It's really wild how much of an outlier the Lions game was in so many different ways. How often they sent zero pressures, which means sending everybody except for the guys covering receivers, but also how bad Sam Darnold was against it, because this entire season he's been at the top of the NFL in terms of quarterback rating against the blitz. And so if you had told me before the game, yeah, they're just going to blitz all the time, I would have thought, well, this is where KOC really thrives, right? And that Darnold's had the answers, and he's been able to escape. And there were a few times in the game where Darnold made the right decision and just didn't make the right throw and overthrew his man, which I think it's not wrong to connect that to the stage and the jitters and the noise at Ford Field. They've faced nothing like that all year long. There's only a couple times I've covered games that have been as loud as Ford Field was, which I think affected them to some extent. And sometimes it's just a no good, rotten day for a football team. And I think that was really the case. But the Rams, the last time they played the Vikings, they didn't blitz at all. And they don't really have to, because they have a really excellent defensive line. So they can rush forward. Jared Verse, their rookie, has been outstanding. Byron Young is a guy they've developed over a couple of years. Braden Fisk, another draft pick that they hit a home run on up front. I mean, I think with last year's defensive rookie of the year, Kobe Turner, that's their D-line. They got four dudes who get after the passer. So I don't think they're going to.
And that's after losing Aaron Darnold.
Yeah, right. And it's, I mean, they did the right thing. They lost Aaron Donald, and then they drafted every player they could on the D-line.
Yes.
This makes a lot of sense, right?
You're correct.
To try to take a lot of swings there. But, I mean, that's a huge challenge. It's a huge challenge for this offensive line, which I think the Vikings offensive line, week to week, we don't know, because against Green Bay, they were great.
Yeah.
They played the best game we've seen pass blocking in 5 years, and then they go to Detroit and struggle so much. So I am really fascinated to see how they go about it. But that's where the game gets decided for me. How do you handle these four beasts that are coming at them? Because if they even do a decent job there, the secondary of the Rams is pretty underwhelming.
Collar with us. Okay, so when they play in the regular season, they lose the Lions in the entertaining game at U.S. Bank. They go out there, and it seems to me the Wednesday before the Thursday game, oh, Cup's not going to play, Puka's not going to play. Wait a second. Both are playing, and both were effective. In reading your work this week, it seems like you think Puka is the much better player right now. But what do you think about just the weapons? Where Stafford is at compared to the best parts of his career? They also have Tyler Higbee. So the group of skill players the Vikings and Brian Flores will face Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, Cooper Kupp has really been a non-factor for the Rams this year, which is kind of wild when you think about how great he was just a couple years ago. But I think there's been a lot of toll on his body. Puka Nacua might be the third best wide receiver in the NFL behind Jamar Chase. I mean, I'd throw CeeDee Lamb in there, but I would put him right up there. I mean, you talk about a big game against Arizona a couple weeks ago. He gets 10 catches, 129 yards. Like, they lean on him super heavily, and you see why. He's enormous, and he's very skilled, and he breaks tackles, and he catches everything. And I guess what I've wondered is, will the Vikings deploy something that they have basically never done this year, which is a double-team type of system with Puka Nacua to try to take him away in Belichickian-type fashion? Because Flores has not really played a lot of man coverage all year long. It's been a lot of zones, a lot of rally to the football, and force bad decisions from the quarterback. But this quarterback, he doesn't make too many bad decisions. Matthew Stafford has changed a lot since the Detroit Lions guy that got sacked 10 times against the Vikings on one Sunday. I mean, he's now getting the ball out quick. He's not taking sacks. He's making smart decisions. So it does come down to a lot of, can you tackle him? And can you force one or two bad plays? Force him to beat you with somebody else. Because when you look at the rest of their wide receivers, I mean, the way that Kupp's playing, Higbee is kind of just the guy. They run the ball okay, but it's not a terrifying run game. There's someone named Jordan Whittington. Like, there's just nobody that's terrifying outside of Nacua. So the entire game plan has to be there. And how much do you blitz Stafford? They love to blitz, and they've done it all year long, and that's how they've created the most turnovers in the league. But this is a guy who picks the blitz apart. So that battle right there, and the Rams don't have a very good offensive line, so they will have to get the ball out quickly, and how the Vikings deal with that has to be better than it was last time, because they throttled that Vikings defense getting the ball out fast.
Last thing real quick, Mel Kiper today says and writes that the New York Giants in the upcoming draft should trade the number 3 pick for J.J. McCarthy. You hear that and say what?
I just don't think so. I don't think the Vikings will do that. I mean, that'd be a heck of a haul for J.J. McCarthy, for sure. But I think the Vikings are in such a wonderful position. And this is what I just want to remind some Vikings fans who are spending their whole days arguing about the salary cap and everything else.
Yes,
they are in a tremendous position to keep Sam Darnold, who's gotten him to this point of 14 wins and a top 7 season at quarterback, and develop J.J. McCarthy slowly. It's so funny how when they draft McCarthy, everyone's on board with, hey, if you got to develop him for a year or two, do it. And then now that we're here, it's like, get rid of Darnold. I mean, it's like they are in a great position to be able to see how it plays out with Darnold and then decide on McCarthy as they get to see him in practice every day, have him in the building for a full other year. I think that he still is their long-term option in the same way Jordan Love was for the Packers, even if Darnold comes back for next season. So I just don't think it would be wise to trade away somebody that you're so excited about their future and could be here 10 years from now just for one draft pick.
Great stuff, man. Get to your job. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Ed.
Matthew Collar, Purple Insider.Football, 100% worth your time.